Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into Power Athlete Radio, featuring The Crew, where a former pro football player, a D3 All-Star, and a guy who peaked in high school use strength and conditioning as an excuse to talk about everything but. Now here's John, Luke, and Tex. Drive on, kick the wheels right before the hammer strikes, so make sure the levels far from low. I got them girls shining in, oh so bright.
I'm ready, Luke.
Tex, are you ready?
I'm kind of hungry.
Too bad. No eating. It's the holidays. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to another episode of the Premier Podcast in strength and conditioning.
Ing.
And starving. Because Ing. It's the only way to lose, shed that holiday weight, John, is to abstain 100% from any food that is not water or ice. We call it the Cali Hinsman diet.
And then when you get tempted, you just actually burn yourself with a cigarette lighter.
That's right. Cigarette lighter. Or if you really need to have some food, what Cali used to do when she was leaning out, she would spiral.
Ice chips.
What do you call the spiral cutter?
Spiralizer. Nobody knows.
Is it spiralizer? So she would spiralize cucumber or zucchini, and she'd have like a quarter ounce of that, and
like
she's like, "I'm good
fry,
for the week."
A cucumber curly fry?
No, it's like spaghetti.
Oh, yeah, I know what those are. Yeah, no, it's awful.
It was garbage. And ladies and gentlemen, that's right. It's time for another Crew episode. We're talking a little bit of nutrition. So the lovely voices you heard chime in. We have our nutrition coach, Sam Flaherty. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
And Mr. Ben Skutnik as well, nutrition coach extraordinaire. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
How do you guys do?
We do well.
Doing great.
Also well.
So you concur. Everyone's doing well.
We don't do good. We do well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do do good.
Well, we do good in
but
terms.
But we're doing well.
Yeah, yes. Like we do good in like the general sense of like doing good for humanity, but
right.
We personally are doing well.
That's right. Now, what do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about nutrition.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I know we got this hotline
hot.
Thing
it's
where
right.
People call in, leave questions, mm-hmm. and then we answer them. And I think it's not a shtick.
No.
And it has a certain
panache.
Uh-huh. But definitely something I really enjoy. I'm always amazed. It's kind of like waking up in the morning and checking the cams, my trail cams. I'm always amazed what walks by.
That's right. And here's what's even more amazing. I made a joke on one of the previous episodes that Tex must be going out to bars and giving this number. Now it's official. Someone is going out to the bars and giving this number because I'm getting all sorts of booty call calls. No, I'm not. But one day we will. And it'll probably be the penguin, and we'll be able to triangulate him.
Fuck,
and
that's, fuck the penguin.
His content's
it's
good.
It's coming from inside the office, John.
I've erased him from my history.
You're missing out, John.
No, I don't.
But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if you have questions on nutrition, training, anything that you want to know from the crew here, we are piling up and stockpiling tons of Q&As at the hotline, like John was saying, 929-464-464-0. That's right. That's 929-ing-ing-0. And, you know, people are texting in too, John. So today's comes from a longtime listener. It's a text message. And she says, "Hey, Power Athlete. I was just curious, how do you all approach Thanksgiving and the upcoming holidays with regards to nutrition? I'd like to say I'd be perfect with my macros, but I'm trying to be realistic. Love to hear our thoughts."
Well, we first have to decide whether or not you are in a leaning or a bulking. So if you're in the bulk, you can just turn off after I say this. Go ham.
Go ham.
Just go.
Is that a pun?
Go on the seafood diet, which means if you see food, consume it, and just try to eat yourself into oblivion. Now.
Well, as a former and recovering bulker, John, my strategy was definitely heavy on protein.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to. But I think if you're in the bulk and you overeat some calories, I mean, I think there is a lot more margin of error in the bulk than there is in the lean, where somebody that's, you know, trying to lose weight, stay in caloric restriction, and then all of a sudden Thanksgiving and these dangerous holidays.
We do have some fun blogs from about 5 years back during the 22 Jack Street, where Callie wrote her first person experience leaning up for Thanksgiving, and Luke wrote his first person experience for bulking on Thanksgiving.
So Callie's was like, just stuff turkey into your shirt.
I will link those up into the show notes. God, they are quite humorous.
But so,
dude, I had to do Thanksgiving when we were on the lean, and I just remember, like, I'm just going to eat as much turkey as I can and let the tryptophan just knock me out like a ninja blow dart, and then it's going to prevent me from just eating all this pecan pie.
Right. So there are the extreme approaches of the Power Athlete HQ, but Sam and Ben, and Sam, maybe you'll go first. Like, I know you're working with clients. You guys have tons of clients. They've got to be having the same questions for you. Like, where are they at? Because again, little baseline, John, myself, and Tex, we're pretty autonomous. We've been doing this approach for a decade, right? Like, it's regularly for a decade, but there's people who are new to, like, mindful eating. What are the tips, Sam, that you're giving?
Yeah, I say wake up and treat at least the morning like a normal day. So if you wake up, drink coffee, train, still do that. And then fast. Like, if you know you're going to have grandma's pumpkin cake or whatever at the end of the day, just fast throughout the day, kind of shrinks your stomach. Don't know if there's science behind that, but in my opinion, that it's not stretched out then. So you're ready to go. And then just crush the protein. So bulking, leaning, maintaining, no one ever really gets fat off of protein. So fill your plate with turkey, brisket, whatever you have, and then focus on the delicious sides and desserts.
So would it be safe to assume, like, you're going multi-plate? Like, you just commit to a multi-plate dinner, but plate one is like...
Well, that all depends on the size of the plate. I told you about Doris Wellborn's deal where she just kept buying bigger and bigger plates. And then we ended up with these massive chargers. So then they would put food, like, you know, like, like serving the food. Like, and you're looking, you're like, there's nothing on this plate. And then all of a sudden, like, you're halfway in and you start sweating. You're like, I think I got an optical illusion with this big plate.
Doris knows about progressive overload, because it's also my understanding that she progressively increased the amount of sugar she would put into her pecan pie. Because... I got the first ever slice of pie I ate from, with, like, it was Doris's pie. We were at Rob's townhouse.
It sent you
into
a
diabetic coma.
Yeah, no.
She was gnarly. One slice of pie.
She uses brown sugar for her pecan pie, and she does this whole thing where I think she, like, renders the sugar somehow. Like, I know she, like, does something crazy to turn it, like... Like, she somehow infuses sugar with more sugar and then puts it into this pecan pie that, like, it's...
Yeah, and then she liquefies it, and then you tap an IV of sugar as well. And the only way to eat it is getting mainline sugar while chewing sugar.
As you're eating it, you're like, all of a sudden your eyesight starts going, and you're like, I just can't see. My blood sugar's got to be over 140. I'm getting degeneration of the optical nerve.
Well, Sam, you just dropped a recipe on our blog for pumpkin pie.
Yes.
So what is
how many pounds of sugar in that one?
Yeah. What's the brown sugar?
I cut out the sugar. I mean, I still think you need to indulge, but I used coconut milk in the filling, which is pseudo, makes you feel a little healthy, maybe a little hipster. And then the sweetness comes from maple syrup and coconut sugar. So instead of liquefied sugar, it's a little bit more natural. And it turned out really good. I made it last night again. And this morning I had it with my coffee.
It's
really
delicious.
Good.
Is that what you meant by treat each morning?
Yeah.
Get it?
All right.
Get it? So Ben, where are the conversations, going with your clients, man?
So one of my guys, Chase, I'm going to use my actual clients, so I hope they don't mind. Chase and I, we've been working together for years, and he's a lot like us, right? Pretty autonomous. To the point where he just went to go climb a 14,000 foot peak and still made sure to get a gym session in today. Right. So for a guy like him, it's like, hey man, he's so far along where it's just like, you know what to do. And there's not a lot of coaching there. But then I got, my guy, Adam, he's only been on board for a couple months now, and we're still very much working through a lot of behavior change stuff. And so for a guy like that, or someone like that, who has the best intentions, but it's still pretty new to this. It's a lot of conversations about, like, don't go too hard on yourself, because there's a lot of things going on at the holidays, and it's more about those experiences, especially now, you know, with everything going on. If this is maybe your one time that you've been able to see family in a long time, you don't want to be marred down by counting macros and being tied up with that kind of stuff. So for him and for a lot of people, I would say, you know, just what do you want to get out of the holidays? If you're really hard on trying to stay lean and things like that, well, then hold yourself accountable. But, you know, you have to make the decision, but know that you're making the decision, right? Your family might bring a whole bunch of food, but they're not forcing you to eat anything. And, you know, like I grew up in the Midwest. My mom definitely toes that line of like, oh, no, you need to eat more. You need to eat more. But like just stand that ground and say, you know, hey, I'm not hungry. Or, you know, we talk about getting multiple plates. You don't have to fill your plate every time. Right. There's going to be plenty of food. So, yeah, if you want to just go through and graze and then get another plate and graze. Right. There's a few strategies there. But ultimately, it comes down to you got to know that you're making the decision and then own the decision you made. Mm-hmm. You're not going to gain 10 pounds from Thanksgiving. Right. Maybe if you go really off the deep end, you might take down an extra couple thousand calories, which still isn't going to be that big of a deal in the long run.
Right.
I think where people get into trouble too is on the on like grazing with the appetizers. Like I know I go over to my family's house and they put out these like boards and stuff, and the yeah, next thing you know,
log of cheese. Accidentally ate a log of goat cheese.
You're over there eating this and this, and like next thing you know, I'm like a handful of nuts, and I'm like all of a sudden I'm like,
which nuts?
The salty ones.
These nuts?
Oh, these nuts? Yeah, I got you on those.
It's a joke.
But like,
lighten up.
I find that like if I can just avoid those type of pitfalls, the grays, and then I just go to the dinner and I load up as much protein as I can, and I eat all the protein first, and then I backfill with everything else. Mm-hmm. I usually am in a pretty good place, opposed from like grazing, eating all the really good stuff, and then like not finishing my meat.
So I was anticipating a little bit of that when McQuilkin had the old Friendsgiving this last weekend. And so what my personal strategy was is I just ate a ton of protein before. Like, because I didn't want to get tempted into the grazing and the overindulging. Yep. So like when I went there, I didn't have food lust, like where you see that cracker and cheese and you're like, it's like chips and salsa at a Mexican restaurant. Like it's just the food lust takes over and you go dark and next thing you know,
doesn't hurt when the person in charge of the hors d'oeuvres is the last to show. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. It helps.
Who is that, Nate?
No, old high school pal.
No worries.
That is, Luke, what you just said, like that is one way to kind of pregame these meals is do like a high protein, moderate fat snack beforehand. And that's going to suppress those hunger drives. But another thing, like you guys touched on, that I know Sam and I both kind of talk with our clients about is like, don't waste your calories, right? If you're going to eat, you know, if you're like, okay, today I'm going to go off plan, don't blow that on the cheese log, right? Because you know what's coming up next. Like if you're going to go off plan, make it worthwhile, right? You know, you don't want to go off plan and get a Snickers when your mom's making 8 different types of pie, right? Because it's still 300 calories. So save your calories for something worthwhile.
In line with that, is it realistic to say, hey, Monday through Wednesday, next, like pre-Thanksgiving, I'm just going to, I'm going to drop 500 a day to get an extra, is that realistic?
I think you can do it, but all the refeeding studies I've ever looked at is like one meal doesn't make or break anybody.
Want to bet?
Right.
Now
what happens is when all of a sudden that like turns into like a, you know, 7-day binge and you're over there listening to Marilyn Manson, I'm on day 3 of a 7-day binge. Like that's where you get into problems.
I'm on day 4 of Harry Shaw's chorizo stuffing
from Friendsgiving. So. Yeah. He brought like 6 pounds of this chorizo stuffing and people like kind of, there was a ton of stuff to eat from, like choose from, but there was tons of leftover and Tex has been eating it every day.
Yeah. Waste not, one not.
Yeah, no, it sounds delicious. But I think everything I've looked at in terms of like protein refeeding and all that, like even when they've taken people that were eating 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight and all of a sudden ramped it up to like 3, you know, grams per pound of body weight, like those people didn't necessarily gain fat. They, if anything, they lost a little bit of body fat and gained a little bit of muscle. So I think if you look at this thing, like I think you just have to focus on like order of operation. I'm going to eat as much protein as I can, and then I'm just going to backfill and then just not really stress over one meal, mm-hmm. you know. But the problem is I think like once you kind of release the hounds and you kind of get into this mindset, it's real easy on a Thursday to like slip into like a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Next thing you know, you're at Monday and you've put together 4 pretty solid
days of like,
oh yeah, fuck it. And then all of a sudden now you're in a bit of a deficit. So I think it's pretty good to be pretty smart. Like I like the idea of waking up in the morning, you know, getting workout in, not eating much, you know, fasting a little bit, and then going hard for Thanksgiving. Like we tend to usually eat about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, which is perfect because then it gives you plenty of time to get like
to get that second meal in late night.
Well, to get a little bit of a nap, wake up and be like, oh, let's go have some turkey. Let me just put a bunch of salt on those turkey pieces.
So, Sam, go ahead, Ben. Ben, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say also kind of on that, if you can prep the day after's breakfast and know like, hey, I'm going to start that next day just like normal, right? I'll have a couple hard-boiled eggs or whatever. That way you can kind of prevent yourself from doing that slip into eating chorizo for the next 3 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can get back to normalcy by preparing for normalcy before you go off into Thanksgiving.
Which leads me, go ahead, Sam, go.
Sorry, that's something that like preparing the food, like the leftovers for meals instead of grazing. I mean, you can wrap up the turkey, freeze it, pull it out in, you know, 6 ounce packages or whatever your macros call for, and make things like turkey tacos, turkey soup, a breakfast, you know, turn the mashed potatoes into mashed potato pancakes. That way it is a meal and you're not stuck the second or third day eating the chorizo.
Yeah.
And on that, stuffing, on or that, pie for breakfast.
Oh, so that was last year was devastating because Harry Shaw's wife brought like 5 pies, right? And I am not a sweets dude. So like what I learned this year is what we are going to have is like we're going to force people to take shit. Like we're not keeping it in the house.
The age old, like, let me make you a to-go plate.
100%, and you insist, and you just push it out. Like, so get yourself some disposable, like, you know, or get whatever containers you're happy to throw or give away. Give it away. Get that shit out of there. Whatever you know is like...
And if you're being a guest, you saying bring your own containers?
Bring your own container.
We got you covered, big guy. You could. Well, I guess that's right. So, like, do you want to bring your smart foods home, the ones that, like, not the pie, but maybe you bring some ham.
Well, yeah, you're going to hand me all the sweets. I'm going to go for the good stuff.
No. But that's also something to consider, too, is because if it's in the house, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me. Like, I just have a hard time throwing away food. Hmm. Like, I just don't
That's the thing, though, is you kind of, I think a lot of people feel that way, Luke, but, you know, what are you going to do? So then again, you have to make a decision, right? Like
have someone else.
This is what I'm going to, just push it off on your wife. Give it to your dogs. But if everything is just a conscious decision, you're going to end up all right because you're going to at least have thought through it. The real problem is when, like we talked in the very beginning, when it becomes mindlessness and you just kind of glaze over and coast through the you know, few days surrounding the holidays and you find yourself, I overate 1500 calories a day for a week straight. Now I'm hurting. Right. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're just aware and actually, you know, you can even physically ask yourself, right. People might think you're a little weird for talking to yourself, but if that's what it takes for you to own your decisions, you'll feel a lot better regardless of what you do.
How about like, on the, like trying to cover up or recoup on the back end. So like you had said, all right, just plan out like a mindful meal for the next day and just commit to it. What about just, people are going to probably think, well, I'll just go hard tonight, skip tomorrow, and then train myself into a caloric deficit to make up for all the junk I ate. Like, what's the thought on that?
It kind of goes back to who are you? You got to know yourself. Because if you're someone who's super autonomous, right, and you can kind of work that constant balance sheet in your head to weigh those relationships, it might not be a bad deal. But if you're somebody who still hasn't quite gotten control of things, then you're setting yourself up just to go back to binging, mm-hmm. right? So if you don't have real tight control and real understanding of, you know, a whole bunch of those emotional factors surrounding eating, that kind of behavior can set you up for failure. But yeah, if you're someone who's been doing this for a long time and really has an understanding of how their body feels, how they work and things like that, and truth isn't like a challenge, absolutely. You know, that's kind of how we're wired, actually, in kind of the evolutionary process, is this kind of feast famine concept. So it's not damaging by any means. It's just more of a mental thing if you can handle that.
What about a post-dessert Metcon?
Well, isn't
like death by burpees.
Isn't that what Rich Froning does? Doesn't he like in between, like, you know, the main course comes out, he like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. He does a workout and he comes back.
What about kinetic dining? Like you're on your Peloton while you're eating your pie.
That's the vertical diet.
Peloton.
Oh my. Yeah.
You mean right the Peloton diet?
Yeah. So what do you guys think about the Peloton? If I were your client and I'm like, well, here's what I'm going to do. And I like what you're saying.
What if you're riding the assault bike and somebody's just feeding you pie?
Yeah. I like that. That sounds like heaven. but and all like to break it down to something useful, after meal walk, right? Go on a walk after, yep, after, the meal, 15-20 minute walk with the fam, take the dog, take the kiddos, like that, wake up and do the same type of thing. Maybe a little bit of fasted cardio. It might, and go into that, like what you were saying, Ben, as long as it's not like, it's not the activity, it's how you interpret it, right? If it's a punishment, then you, yeah, probably shouldn't do it. If it's like, I got tons of juice, I'm totally fueled up, let's go burn some fuel, then like that seems like a healthy type of relationship with that activity, right?
I mean, realistically, probably the best day after workout would be like a Jack Street workout, because your glycogen is going to be fully replenished, right? Your muscles are going to be full, so you could really truly chase some good hypertrophy work. And then that, we all know, we've talked about plenty on the podcast and things like that about how lifting weights burns more calories than, say, your steady state cardio or something like that. So really, if you are looking for post-Thanksgiving workout, just a big pump sesh would be what you're set up to really succeed at.
We did drop some on Jack Street and Field Strong, some body weight. So the body weight PAMC on Field Strong, and I know Jack Street's got a body weight freaking
at home circuit. Yeah.
So those are options. Check those out on training. But
oh yeah. Sweet. What else? So anything else, guys, in terms of like, you know, what the conversations you're having with clients or other keys to success, and, you know, maybe not just that holiday Thanksgiving, but what about like just behaviorally going into then Christmas? And Christmas tends to be more like a multi-day thing, you know, because you got like multiple meals, multiple families for some people.
I think for most people, and I think what Sam and Ben and what we've talked about is most people make good decisions when they have a plan in place. So that's, I think, what's so valuable, and especially working with nutrition coaches like Ben and Sam, is they help you with the plan. You formulate a plan, implement the plan, and then keep you accountable for the plan. If you can go into eating the holidays and this is how I'm going to do it, this is where I'm going to put the workouts, this is how many calories I want to have here, and then somebody gives you a little license, hey, for this meal, just go eat what you want, have a good time, we're going to get back in the fight tomorrow. And I think with that level of like direction and having a plan, I think it really helps with like a lot of the, you know, issues that people are running into, whether or not they're neurotic about food, and, you know, helping them have a healthy relationship with food. I think you need somebody to guide you on that journey a little bit. If you didn't, we'd have a lot more people that were in shape, and Ben and Sam and this nutrition wouldn't even be a viable business, because people would just know what to do. But unfortunately, people have an unhealthy relationship with food. They don't have a plan. They just go in and try to fucking wing it, and invariably come out the other side of this thing feeling worse about themselves, depressed, down, you know, I'm going to gain this holiday weight, and they get into this whole kind of vicious circle, and it just ends up in a bad place. So I think if you can have a plan and some people on your team like Ben and Sam, and, you know, design that plan, execute that plan, implement it, get it, have somebody with a little bit of accountability and somebody you can reach out to if things are going off the rails. But the people that I've worked with that have a plan in place, like, hey, this is where, you know, this is the end game, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to do, what are the steps to execute it? I believe that those individuals don't necessarily make mistakes and have a much better relationship and a much better outcome than people that are just like, fuck it.
I do one final question for both Ben and Sam here. What are some tools or some deflections that you can arm people with when, you know, mom starts to push the pies and so on and so forth, so they don't appear rude or weird or just use their training as an excuse?
Yeah, I mean, you can always take it, right? And even if you just, not that I'm recommending pushing it around on your plate, but if the leftovers are going to get thrown away anyways, you can take a couple bites and you don't have to finish it. You could say, oh my gosh, I'm stuffed. Thank you so much. It was delicious. I mean, you don't have to eat anything, right? Like, you don't want to make grandma mad or hurt her feelings. But at the same time, I think in Callie's blog, which was hilarious, she said, understand who you're gonna piss off, right? Like, probably not appropriate to make grandma upset, but if it's like your second cousin who wants you to try their green bean casserole covered in shoestring onions and it's just repulsive, you can probably just say no.
You know, the other one Callie did is she wrote on her hand, put down the fork, fatty. So as she was eating, she would look at it and she would see that written on her hand. Because I was like, what's on your hand? She's like, oh, it's, I wrote myself notes.
Well, she also asked us to text her that every 30 seconds as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Put the fork down, fatty.
Poor Callie.
Oh, it was
getting roasted. I mean, that's a good habit. You don't have to write it on your hand, but just
no, it's a good relationship. Dude, when I played in the NFL, I used to write a strong punch on one side and then quick feet on the other, and then in between plays I would look at it. It was stay low and quick feet, I think, and then I went to like strong punch, and I would always write myself these little notes on my wrists on the tape, and I would just glance at them as like just constant reminders. So I think I told Callie that, and then she wrote something on her hand and it was like, put down the fork, fatty. I'll tell you though, Callie got jacked. Still to this day remember when we were going for the bod pod and everybody like stripped down to get in the bod pod. And I was like, damn, Callie got yoked. And then she's like, you have striations in your legs. And I'm like, I'm winning this motherfucker.
So Sam, what were you saying?
Honestly, I don't. Oh, just mindful eating is a good practice, period. So even if you don't write it on your hand, like taking a minute to breathe, have a sip of water, and like let your food digest while you're at the table, that's good, period, especially during the holidays when you do have multiple plates or an overloaded plate or a John Wellborn size plate or whatever.
Doris Wellborn plates.
Doris, yeah.
So I actually bought my kids like little kid plates. So like I want them as they grow to get slightly bigger plates. I didn't want to like, I want them to have like a proportionate plate to their size.
We got to keep it all the same pattern.
And they just fucking,
they'll never know.
John, you're 6'5", 280 pounds. I think you should just follow the Doris Wellborn plan. Grape nuts and wagon wheels.
And
Monster Mash.
To this day, my brother and I still laugh. And they were like, he's like, I can't fathom the amount of carbohydrates we ate. Mm-hmm. And that bowl of grape nuts we had every morning had to be 300 grams of carbohydrate with the whole milk. I mean, the non-fat milk, because you know you don't want that milk fat.
No, that's unhealthy.
And it's three normal sized pancakes are like 75 to 80 grams of carbohydrate. So times that by seven, and that was pretty much our average meal.
So like, I guess, you know, John, that was interesting, and I know you guys have talked about like, we want to have a plan. What are some, like, how about like three or four tactical things for someone who's just trying to stay lean, trying to be mindful, trying to slow down the cadence? Like things that I'm thinking of. Whatever your default slicing and cutting of a food is, do it again. And then chewing. When you're ready to swallow, chew 15 more times. And like, that'll keep you mindful and plugged into what you're doing. And I think, like, I don't know, is that like healthy behavior monitoring?
Dude, there's something within, and Ben, you probably know this better than I, but there's something within like the response of like hunger that has to do with chewing. So, and I remember there was a study that talked about like, if you chew, and we've talked about this for years, if you chew your food three times, you can actually consume way more calories than if you chew your food 20 times. And so like, yeah, if you're trying to gain weight, I tell people like, hey, if you're in the bulk, you just
eat,
need
like
to be
a
like
duck.
A dog, swallow that stuff, like take two or three bites and swallow. But if you're trying to lean out, there's very, very real research that shows about over chewing your food 15, 20, 25 times for every bite will dramatically, I mean, it just reduces the volume, and you know, you can't consume nearly as many calories.
Yeah. I mean, digestion starts with chewing, right? And so whether you want to get better digestion absorption of what you eat, or you want to slow things down, kind of the number we kick around is like 20, chew 20 times per bite. And actually most people, when they try that, they're like, oh my gosh, that takes so much longer. But really kind of to add to what Luke said, I think one strategy also that people need to remember is that the holidays, whatever your family does, typically follows a schedule, right? Like, we're going to roll out the appetizers, then rolling out the main courses, then the desserts come, and then the coffee afterwards or whatever. You know that schedule, dictate the tempo, right? If you're afraid of overeating or you're afraid of getting stuff pushed on, like, universal sign of I'm full, pop that top button in the jeans, right? And everybody's going to know. Oh, no, but
take
your
shirt off, take the pants off, just nude up at that point, just sit there in your underwear. And you're like, I'm so hot. I'm sweating so bad. I can't eat any more food.
My sweats.
Well, the other one too, and this is the one that I figured out is like, when my mom goes to cut the pie, as she's cutting it, I'm like, great, can you cut that piece in half again? So what I always tell her, I'm like, hey, just give me like a couple slivers of everything. That way, like, I don't get overloaded on one. And she'll be like, oh, okay. And then like it ends up being like one big piece of pie. But like that way, you know, nobody's offended. Like, oh, you didn't want to eat my pie. And you're like, oh, God, this is like 6 months later. And my mom calls me at 9 o'clock at night to tell me I didn't like her pie. So don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah, I mean, and just in general, keeping in mind, like, the holidays are not the day to start something new, right? They're not the day to try and, like, get up on your soapbox and preach super healthy habits. If, you know, like, know your audience. I'm sure there are a lot of conversations that go on during the holidays that get people fired up. Nutrition doesn't necessarily need to be one of them, but be in control of what you can control, right? Mm-hmm. And then what you can't control, you know? Don't sweat it.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good. Pretty good. One thing like a lifetime of cleaning my plate has certainly done is when the plate is not gone, like my mom is very concerned. She's like, is everything okay?
Is there anything you need to talk about?
What's going on with you and Ashley? I'm just trying to eat less, Ma, you know? And like...
There you're like, Mom, like, I'm it's very real. Like, I don't want to overeat at meals. And your mom, what? You've overeaten every meal.
I know. So I, you know, throw a double bicep pose at her and rip my shirt off and flip the table and say, this is my meal now, Grandma. You're in my world.
But
you can imagine what it'd be like.
Well, and then the other one, which we haven't necessarily addressed, is the sneaky carbs and the sneaky calories through alcohol. So,
Jesus, man.
I know.
What's your problem?
I was kind of hoping we were going to get there, but I'm like,
that's all the time we have, folks. I'm trying, folks. He's not letting me stop.
So the idea of I think it's really hard to kind of judge alcohol, especially if you're like, hey, I'm going to have a glass of wine or I'm going to slam those old fashions that's got all that muddled sugar in it. So I think you have to be pretty smart. You know, if you're going to attack this thing, you got to be smart in how you're looking at it and not just be like, hey, I'm going to crush a dozen beers or, you know, really go through and push it. Just be smart with the alcohol and then realize that those calories count into your total. So like, you know, if you're going to want to say, hey, I want to drink, you know, half a bottle of wine, have two or three glasses of wine, then you probably got to cut back some carbs on the other side and then be like, hey, what am I going to do? Am I going to have the wine or am I going to eat the cake? And then kind of be smart in how you attack this.
Tricky thing with the wine, though. Is it kind of erodes those inhibitions and then you're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to drink this box of wine and eat that pie. Watch me.
Well, alcohol does remove a lot of inhibitions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm sure Mr. McQuilkin over here could write a book about it.
Mm. Yeah. New system, John. Booch. Kombucha
beers.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I had those.
Yeah, they're really good. The boozy booches.
Yeah.
They're, those are great.
Yeah, no, they.
I'll just put tequila in my kombucha, and it is my favorite cocktail.
Huh? Oh, shit. Hang on. You're allowed to do that?
Do you know what else is really good?
I did not know
tequila,
that.
Tequila, soda water, and Rob Wolf's Element.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Those things are unreal.
Mm-hmm. Shit.
Mm-hmm. It makes it healthy, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, it's got salt in it.
That's right.
Yeah, you're hydrating. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just be smart with the alcohol. Realize that those calories do count.
100%.
And then just be smart and realize that what's gotten most people into trouble on Thanksgiving is the fact that it's on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So then they extend it to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I sometimes think if, like, Thanksgiving was on a Sunday, you'd probably be in a better shape. But that Thursday just is a recipe for a binge. So just be smart. Realize alcohol counts. And at the end of the day, don't be hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. Just have a plan and execute it.
Yeah, small bites, lots to choose.
And don't weigh yourself until 3 days later because all you eat has to come out, right? And shit weighs something, right? And the inflammation from eating this food and drinking the drink. So give yourself like 3 days before you step on the scale to get like an accurate or better picture of what's actually happening.
The damage done.
Mm. Well, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, also Thursdays this year.
I think it's a great plan.
Young Luke would be in a world of hurt.
I feel so bad. My wife's birthday is January 2nd. Mm-hmm. Which is like the worst birthday because nobody ever wants to go out on January 2nd.
It's a month of raging.
Yeah, they're like an asshole. Yeah. And so, yeah, her birthday will be on a Saturday, which will be good for her. So,
well, Ben, Sam, thank you guys. John, Tex, thank you. Thank you. Thank everybody. Thank you all for listening as well, Power Athlete Nation.
Thank you. Thank you very little.
Sam, thanks for the new drink. I'll give you a test run.
Seriously, like,
in about 10 minutes at his
office,
he's sitting at his desk. Like, are you drinking tequila at your desk? No.
Well, I got some pocket tequila here if you need it. Do you have any pocket booch?
Well, we got tequila over here.
Oh, yeah.
We got our table thing tequila. We got Booker's. We got tequila.
But ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for us, nutrition, training, trucks, life, well, anything.
And if you need help with your nutrition, and you need somebody to be your guiding light, your nutrition ninja and the person in your corner, reach out to us, put you in contact with Ben and Sam. They do an amazing job. And I think they people really have an amazing experience. And it's not something you can necessarily get there on your own. So
that's right. Call the hotline for the questions. First off, 929-464-464-0. 929-ing-ing-0. And ladies and gentlemen, our coaches can be found at powerathletehq.com/nutrition, or head to the contact page and you can submit your questions. It goes right to our nutrition team and these cats will be there ready to respond. And that's like John said, if you're the type of person who's been like, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you know what to do and you're not doing it, you need Sam and you need Ben. Like, if you know what to do and you're not doing it, right? How many people have you talked to, John, where you're like, oh, here's how you lean out? They're like, oh, I know that.
Yeah,
all the time. It's like, why are you sloppy and soft? It's because they need a coach.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everybody knows what to do, like in the back of their head. I mean, maybe there's some people that don't. But for the most part, like when you talk to people, they go, no, that makes sense. And you're like, okay, why can't you execute it? And I think the reason is that conceptually it makes sense. But for people, like, it's kind of like, hey, Tex, I need you to get to California. Okay, yeah, I'm sure Tex could get to California, right? But if I asked him, how specifically are you going to get to California?
10.
Right? You take 10 will take you to Santa Monica.
Yeah, I-10.
Yeah, I-10, but you didn't know that right off the bat. You would have had to research it, and then you realize, like, hey, my car really only gets about 250 miles.
Yeah, we're not taking my truck.
Well, no, if we were to drive your truck, we know we get about 200 to 225 miles to the gallon. We know that there's a stretch. To a tank. But we know that there's a stretch in New Mexico that's about 400 miles, so we're going to have to put some gas cans in.
Yeah.
And, like, this is all the foresight that you have to have if you're going to try to make that trip. The same thing with the nutrition coaches being like, hey, this is where you are. This is where we're trying to go. We're going to have different pit stops here along the way. We're going to hit different roadblocks and different bumps, but we're going to navigate this thing. We're going to do it together, and we're going to be successful. And I think when you have somebody in your corner like that, it makes it a lot more attainable than just being like, yeah, I'd like to be in shape one day.
For sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking to find Sam, how can they get in touch with you on social?
At Samantha_Flaherty, or my email, SamanthaFlaherty@powerathletehq.com.
And Ben?
Those are probably the best ways.
I don't believe in social media.
Attaboy.
But,
you know, I tried to tag you the other day in social media, and you weren't there the other day, and I was like, damn you.
No, man. But you can email me, BenScutnick@powerathletehq.com, or like Luke said, if you email nutrition@powerathletehq.com, both Sam and I will get that email.
That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, best of luck on the holidays. I'm off the White Claws. I'm not doing it this holiday.
No.
I'm doing tequila and bucha for sure. Yep. Okay, thank you, Sam. That was you can see what our number one takeaway was today. Dex and Luke are morons. Don't drink too much. You mean how many bottles of tequila are too much in a day?
I think if you can kill a whole bottle of tequila in a day, I think things are going to get real weird.
750 in a day? Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you stay healthy over the holidays.
I mean, things will get weird.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
But thank you, guys. Thanks again. And until next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now it's time for you to empower your performance. Head to powerathletehq.com/training to choose from a number of programs to meet your specific performance goals. And if you like to break a mental sweat too, visit academy.powerathletehq.com and become a real stakeholder in you or your athlete's success. Until next time, bye!
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.